Do you feel stuck? Do you feel stuck? Are you in a situation in your life when you feel just stuck? That you can't see a way forward? You can't seem to move forward in your life. Are you hoping? Hoping of all hopes that someone is going to come and get you out of your situation. You are waiting to be unstuck. And you are crying out, waiting patiently there. Do you know there is many ways that we get stuck? Can we just take the volume of the mic, Ryan, just down a bit? I'm booming here. Many ways that we get stuck. Who loves being stuck in traffic? Oh, praise God, there is one. There is one. You know, I have started to adapt my time, so I keep my teaching on in the car. So if I'm stuck, I just get the teaching on there. So we don't like being stuck in traffic. It certainly ministers to our impatience, doesn't it? They're stuck in a job that we don't like. Anyone ever been stuck in a job that they just didn't like and just wanted to be out of it? Maybe you feel stuck in a relationship. Maybe that you just seem to can't get out, a friend, or, you know, and the sad thing is, even in marriage, some people feel stuck, that they want out, but they just know, well, God says you don't get a divorce, so I am stuck there. Some people feel stuck in a marriage, stuck in a queue, stuck in debt, stuck in a bad habit. Some people stuck in the past, you know, just living in the past, hoping that it's going to be like the past. Oh, those were the days. Those were the good old days. If only people were as committed now as they were then we would see God move and see the church move. Stuck in an unhealthy mindset. Do you know, our minds, we can get stuck in unhealthy mindsets. There, one of them, we can be stuck in fear. Stuck in fear. Fear is a big one for people. Fear of failure, fear of change, fear of the unknown. We can be stuck in addictions, sin cycles. There is so many ways in our lives that we can be stuck, unable to move forward. And my prayer today, and for you as well, is for you to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to you. I thank God as I see some notebooks out taking notes, but let's make this not just a note-taking and getting some keys for seeing freedom come, but let's put on a page, okay, action. Action. Okay, God, what do I need to do? What is the one thing that I need to do there? And what action do I need to take in my life to move out of that stuckness? Is that a word? Stuckness? There. I believe we as people living in the place, I call it Stuckville. Stuckville. And it's time to leave Stuckville. God doesn't want us to be stuck in our lives. God is always moving. And he is wanting to move our lives into places of blessing and seeing freedom come in our lives. If you were to look at the dictionary, what is being stuck, unable to move forward, bogged down, grind to a halt, in a mire, just feeling bogged down with things? Someone once says, over an overwhelming sense that you need to do something to move from the place that you're in to the place that you would rather be, but you just can't. You just can't seem to move forward in your life. Do you know, life happens. Life happens. We are all breathing in here this morning. I take it we're all breathing. Nudge the person beside you, make sure they're breathing. You know, life happens. As long as we have breath in our lives, as long as we are living in the marketplace, Life does happen, and sometimes I just believe that stuckness just sneaks up on us sometimes, where we just begin to look at our life, ponder our life, and think, goodness me, I'm stuck. Do you know, when I hit my 40s, which was a year ago, I think, when I hit my 40s, I came to a place where I was stuck. Do you know, I was in a place where I was looking at the past, weighing up how good a husband I was, how good a father I was. And let me tell you, I had a mindset that was not that good in my 40s. And I was beating myself up at what a terrible husband I was, what a terrible father. I was stuck and I couldn't see a way forward because I didn't think I could be a good father, a good husband, a good employee because of the issues that I was facing. Life does happen. We get to that place of just being discontent with life. I remember Kevin Pete, who was here a couple of weeks ago, saying to me, Stephen, don't feel trapped. Totally out of the blue. And as I began to reflect on my life, that's the way I felt. I was between a rock and a hard place. And let me tell you, I was working for the church. But I was stuck. Because there was part of me was like, God, I'm just not enjoying working for the church anymore, and I want out. There must be something better. But I knew as a Christian that there was no way back. I didn't want to go back into the post office where I was a postman. I didn't want to go back into settling problems. I just didn't feel that that was what I wanted to do. And I was stuck. But God took me on a journey as I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. How do we get stuck? You know, sometimes we make unwise decisions in our life. Financially, you've heard our story. Unwise decisions regarding finance, and we were stuck in debt. Couldn't get out of it. And God had to help bring people into our life to help us get out of that. Are you feeling stuck this morning? Are you feeling stuck listening to me this morning? Do you know sin? Sin in our life can lead us into that place of just being stuck. One of the big areas, I believe, is unforgiveness in our life where we can't move on in our life when we hold on to unforgiveness. We can be stuck in guilt, stuck in shame, unworthiness. That unhealthy mindset, that victim mentality, poor wee me. God, it always happens to me. If anything bad's going to happen, it will happen to me. Just that victim mindset, that hopelessness, that anxiousness, not trusting God, that unbelief cycle in our life, we can be stuck. Come on, turn to someone and say, are you stuck this morning? Come on, ask them. It's the only way I can keep you awakened this morning. Are you stuck? You know, we don't like to be stuck. We want to be always living, always moving, always doing it. But you know, we have an enemy of our soul that wants to keep you stuck, not moving into all that God has for you. He lays traps. Paul said himself, we are not unaware of the devil's schemes in our life. The devil has a scheme. He has a plan, a strategy for your life to keep you stuck. Believing lies about God, about ourselves, keeping you from all that God would have for you today. And one of the stories that I love in the Bible is a story of a city, a prophet, and four lepers. Not leopards. Lepers. Four lepers who were stuck. And so if you have a Bible, we're going to turn to 2 Kings chapter 7. 2 Kings chapter 7. A just amazing story. 2 Kings chapter 7, page 305 in your Bible. They are reading from verse 1. Elisha replied, "Listen to this message from the Lord, the prophetic word. This is what the Lord says, by this time tomorrow, in the markets of Samaria, 6 quarts of choice flour will cost only 1 piece of silver, and 12 quarts of barley grain will cost only 1 piece of silver." The officer that was assisting the king said to the man of God, "That couldn't happen even if the Lord opened the windows of heaven." But Elisha replied, "You will see it happen with your own eyes, but you won't be able to eat any of it." Meanwhile. Meanwhile, outside the walls, there were 4 men with leprosy sitting at the entrance of the city gates, obviously not allowed in. "Why should we sit here waiting to die?" they asked each other. "We will starve if we stay here, but with the famine in the city, we will starve if we go there. So we might as well go and surrender to the Aramean army. If they let us live, so much the better. But if they kill us, we would have died anyway." Wow, what a choice. So at twilight, they set out for the camp of the Arameans, but when they came to the edge of the camp, no one was there, for the Lord had caused the Aramean army to hear the clatter of speeding chariots and galloping of horses and the sounds of a great army approaching. There was a sound from heaven. "The king of Israel has hired the Hittites and the Egyptians to attack us," they cried to one another. So they panicked and ran into the night, abandoning their horses, their donkeys, and everything else, their tents, as they fled for their lives. And when the men with leprosy arrived at the edge of the camp, they went into the tent after one after the other, eating and drinking wine. And they carried off silver and gold and clothing, and they hid it. And finally they said to each other, "This is not right. This is a day of good news, and we aren't sharing it with anyone. If we wait until morning, some calamity will certainly fall upon us. Come on, let's go back and tell the people at the palace." So they went back to the city and told the gatekeepers what had happened. And we went out to the Aramean camp, they said, and no one was there. The horses and the donkeys were tethered and the tents were all in order, but there wasn't a single person around. Then the gatekeepers shouted the news to the people in the palace. Breathe. So the king got out of bed in the middle of the night and told his officers, "I know what's happened. The Arameans know that we are starving, so they have left camp and have hidden in the fields, and they are expecting us to leave the city," which was a strategy for armies then. "And then they will take us alive and capture the city." One of his officers replied, "We had better send out scouts to check this. Let them take 5 of the remaining horses. If something happens to them, it will be no worse than if they stayed here and die with the rest of us." So 2 chariots with horses were prepared, and the king sent scouts to see what had happened to the Aramean army. And they went all the way to the Jordan River, following a trail of clothing and equipment that the Arameans had thrown away in their mad rush to escape. Well, just picture that. Just chasing after them or seeing what's happened, and all this stuff all just lying all over the place. The scouts returned and told the king about it. Then the people of Samaria rushed out and plundered the Aramean camp. So it was true that 6 quarts of choice flour were sold that day for 1 piece of silver, and 12 quarts of barley grain were sold for 1 piece of silver, just as the Lord had promised. Just as the Lord had promised. The king appointed his officer to control the traffic at the gate, but he was knocked down and trampled to death as the people rushed out, just as had been prophesied. So everything happened exactly as the man of God had predicted. When the king came to his house, the man of God had said to the king, "By this time tomorrow, in the markets of Samaria, 6 quarts of choice flour will cost 1 piece of silver, and 12 quarts of barley grain will cost 1 piece of silver." And I'll finish it there. Samaria. Samaria, under siege. Under siege. The people are locked in the city. And again, that was a ploy of the enemy. You know, keep them from water, keep them from food, keep any resources getting into the city. And so we have people here who were stuck inside the city, couldn't come out. We have the army on the other side waiting for the people to come out, that they would get in and just take over the city. And in between, we have 4 men with leprosy sitting, stuck, wondering what to do with their life. What are they going to do? The king, he was blaming Elisha. This is all his fault that we are in this mess. Do you know, blame. Do you know, it's part of our blame. When things don't go our way, do we blame anyone? Are you like me, that just look for someone to blame? To put it onto someone else or something else? Well, it's their fault. I was brought up in Castlemilk, so I'm not going to be anyone that's going to do anything. I mean, what can God use? How can God use someone from a housing scheme in Castlemilk? Shy, introverted. Do you know, we blame our parents, we blame people just for our demise. But we have to look sometimes closer to home. There, the king blamed Elisha and wanted to kill him. And Elisha, as he is seeking God, gets a word from God, and that was a prophetic word. By this time tomorrow, food is not going to be so expensive, it's going to be so cheap. God, let that happen today. Let that happen today. And the king, who leaned on his officer, the king relied on his officer, and we have the officer saying, "It's never going to happen. That will never happen." Again, another lesson for our lives is, who are we listening to? Who are we listening to? Come on, turn to someone. Who are you listening to? Ask them, who are you listening to? And I know you're going to reply, "Well, I'm listening to Stephen at this minute." I'm listening to Stephen. Yes, well, you're probably wise, Charlie. That is a wise decision. Listen to your wife. Who are you listening to? Are they speaking life into you? Are they living in unbelief? Is it causing you to be in that place of unbelief? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him and he will make your path straight. So here we have the 4 lepers sitting here saying, what are we going to do? If we stay here, we're going to die. If we go into the city, we're going to die. We could go into the enemy's camp. We may be allowed to live, but then again, they may kill us. What a dilemma. 75% chance of being killed, 25% chance of living. And so what do? They take a risk. They move out of their position and they go into the enemy's camp wondering, okay, are we going to live? Is this our last day on this earth? Are they going to kill us? Well, they're going to get killed anyway. So they move into the enemy's camp. And what a surprise that they got. They moved out from their position, not knowing that the enemy had moved out, but they moved out and discovered that God had been before them. God was before them. God was before them. It would have been easier if God sending an angel and saying, by the way, you four guys, I've sorted it. You can go in and get some plunder. But they never. They had to face their condition, their fears, and they stepped out in faith. They took a risk. And they discovered so much blessing. So much. Picture yourself in that position. Wow. Gold, silver, clothes, food, wine. Well, they were having a party. And then again, it struck them. This is not just for us. This is for the city. And it's not right that we just hold on to this blessing for ourselves, that we take the blessing that we have discovered and that we share it with the city. God supernaturally caused the enemy to hear a sound. There is nowhere that is recorded that the lepers heard the sound. They didn't. We don't see a conversation went, listen, do you hear that? What is that? There was no one in the city that heard the sound. The only people that heard the sound was the enemy. The enemy. Change began from their situation when they made a decision to move. They assessed their options and they moved. They took some action. And you know, for many of us in our life, we are stuck in a place where we are just looking at our situation, talking about our situation, talking to other people about our situation and being stuck. And God is saying, is God saying that there is something that you can do in your life to begin that process of becoming unstuck in your life? So how do we get unstuck? I think the first place that we have to come to is actually admitting that we are stuck. Acknowledging that we are stuck and telling God, God, I am stuck. Lord, I am stuck in unemployment. God, I need a job. God, I'm stuck in debt. Would you help me? God, I am stuck in this place. I need you. Where are you stuck? Unforgiveness, relationship, job, addiction cycle, sin cycle, fear, in a habit, in an ungodly mindset. Are you stuck? Then tell yourself, acknowledge to your life, goodness me, I'm stuck. Thank God that God has put the church around us, that we have people around us that we can also tell, I just feel in this place of being stuck. The next thing that we can do is to pray and seek God. Obvious, is it not? Is it? Is it just me? Obvious. But many people, God is sometimes the last place that we will turn to. We try and fix and try and get out of our situation ourselves. Psalm 18:6, but in my distress, I cried out to the Lord. Yes, I prayed to my God for help. He heard me from his sanctuary. My cry reached his ears. So God hears. Psalm 40, I waited patiently for the Lord to help me, and he turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the pit of despair, out of the mud and the mire, and he set my feet on solid ground and steadied me as I walked along. He has given me a new song to sing, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see what he has done and be amazed, and they will put their trust in God. Great words. Because let me tell you, as in these four lepers, these four guys who made the decision to move out of their position and go into the enemy territory, God had already moved, and God came with, well, the blessing of God reached them. And they shared it with others. Who knows that in our breakthrough, as we discover how God delivers us from that place of being stuck, that we come alongside someone else who's stuck, and we say, God, show me how to speak to this person, to show this person that you can do it. And you know, we become a blessing to other people. That we don't just keep that for ourselves. They will put their trust in God. So let me encourage you, take action. What action do you need to take today? What do you need to do to become unstuck? We need to do something. But let me just say also, it says, I waited patiently for the Lord. Sometimes I believe God hems us in. And we find ourselves in that place of being stuck, where we think we're stuck because of our own doing. But I believe sometimes God brings that, just that hemming in, because he wants to speak to us. He wants to do something in our hearts. He has got us where he wants us, in that place of being stuck. He has something to say, something to do, before he will allow us to see the way out of that time. It's prayer and it's action. It's prayer and it's action. It's faith and it's works. Exodus chapter 14, verse 15, then the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Bless you. Tell the people to get moving. Pick up your staff and raise your hand over the sea. Divide the waters so the Israelites can walk through the middle of the sea on dry ground. Enemies on one side, the sea on the other side. Moses and all the people in the middle, brought out of Egypt. Where are we going? We are stuck. And Moses is interceding, crying out to God. I don't know if that was moaning to God or actual interceding, but he was crying out, God, what has happened? We're stuck. And God is saying, why are you crying out to me? Get that staff and raise it up and divide those waters, and God will make a way through. I believe, you know, in our prayers, that as we hear what God is saying, he will tell us what to do. He will bring us alongside someone. Sometimes it's just raise that staff. Sometimes it's just that place of we just begin to worship God. God, I am stuck. I don't see a way forward, but I want to say today, I love you. I worship you. I love you, God. In that place of worship, I believe God will begin to speak to our lives. Is there something that you can do? Thank God for his faithfulness. Thank God for his blessing. Do you know, Elizabeth Elliot, a Christian author and speaker, says that we can spend our days longing for better tomorrows, or we can glorify Jesus in our today, because that is all we have. Are you longing for a better tomorrow? Begin to praise God today. Do you know there is practical help out there as well? If we are stuck in debt, stuck in addictions, there is organizations who are professionally equipped to help you break some of this stuff over your life, to get you free from debt, from addiction. And so seek God. For Annette and I, as we face debt, the organization was Citizens Advice. We had to go. I had to lay down my pride that I had messed up. And we went and we said to Citizens Advice, we are stuck. We can't get out of debt. And they took us in a process. God could have done it. I prayed to God. I cried out to God. A check for for £25,000 to come through that envelope, that letterbox. I was anointing the letterbox with oil. I was praying over the letterbox. I was interceding. I fasted one day, I think, out of the 2 years or whatever. I was crying out to God, £25,000, God. Just a check. There's rich Christians out there. Speak to them, God. And I'll tell you something, if a check came through that letterbox, I would be still in debt today. Because I hadn't learned how to use and make wise decisions regarding finances. Yes, I was. I mean, was it spending anything? Never had big tellies, fancy cars, had a mini metro that was worth £240. But I was just trying to get through life and trying to get my family through life and high interest and mortgage, and we struggled, and that was how we made an unwise decision of moving to a house that God told us not to move to. But we needed a bigger house because it was better. But God had a plan, and it was a different plan from our plan. But we thought we knew better. And God brought us round full circle back to the place where we should have went in the first place. And started to bring some direction to our life. What is God saying to you today? Do you know, I think we have to change our song over our own lives. Do you know, these four lepers could be sitting around each other. We're going to die. There's a famine. We're going to the city, we're going to die, we're going to die, we're going to die. Do you know, for a lot of us, we need to change the way we speak over our life. Do you know, this is a mess. I'm always in a mess. It's always going to be this mess. I do believe we have to start building in the Word of God and start declaring His Word over our lives. The secret is Christ in me. Say it, church. Christ in me. Christ in me. That is a secret. Not me in different circumstances. Lord, take me out of this. If only I had more money. If only I had a better house. If only I was in a better place. But it's Christ in me. The hope of glory. Paul and Silas, I'm sure they wanted to be in another place, but they were locked in a prison. They were in a prison. Beaten up. God, why have you brought us here? We are serving you, God, and we're in a prison. But what did they do? They begin to release a sound of worship and praise. And everyone in the prison heard it. And as I've said many times, there is people in your circle that are watching you, listening to you, seeing how you deal with circumstances and situations, and are they hearing that cry of despair and pain and unbelief? Or are they seeing your trust in God and your declaration? We have to change the way that we speak. I've called it dead talk or life talk. Dead talk or life talk. Proverbs 18:21. The tongue can bring death or life, and those who love it will eat its fruit. You will eat the fruit of what you speak, is what I'm picking up from these verses. So my question is, what are you speaking over your life? Are you stuck? Do you need to start seriously praying about seeking God? Do you need to seek help? Do you need to thank God for His goodness and His faithfulness? Do you need to begin just to build worship and get into the Word of God and starting to deal with some of these lies that we believe? Prayer to see things broken over your life. You know, the God sent a sound and this enemy heard it. And you know, I believe, even in our stuckness, even in our situations, God is preparing, God is sending a sound, and God is bringing and is going to bring freedom to our life. But He is waiting for us to make a move. And the word that I just felt over us was, some people, we need to move out of our situation. We need to move out and start doing that by doing some of the stuff. If you're feeling stuck, the first protocol is to cry out to God and to be listening to Him. What action, what is it that you need to do today, this week, in the weeks to come?